Well, Daniel chapter 6 here, with the past number of weeks been in Daniel chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. I wanted to look at these three chapters together. Daniel was involved in each of these chapters. Chapter 4, you had a very proud king that God humbled. Chapter 5, you had a pleasure-seeking king that God dealt with for his inability to acknowledge him as a true God and live for him. But chapter 6 here, we're looking at one of the saints of God, one of the greatest men in the Bible. Can anybody name me a sin that Daniel had in his life? Now, did he have sin in his life?
Yeah.
He did. Name one.
He was blameless.
He was blameless, yeah. He walked so close to God that only God knew his sin, but we didn't know it. There's not one sin recorded by Daniel. And not many people in Scripture can claim that. King David couldn't claim that. But Daniel in Scripture never recorded one sin. But this chapter here, it's an important chapter for us as believers, and topic of prayer comes up here in this chapter, but a lot of other topics here too. Well, let's follow along with me in chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents to whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage or loss or harm. Then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the scripture we have here before us. Lord, I know your word is true, and it's as true yesterday, today, and forever, because, Lord, your word is an eternal word. It's a living word of God. Father, as we hold this word in our hands, may we be very attentive to it. And, Lord, may we esteem your word very highly. So, Lord, give us a tender heart, a teachable spirit, and the ability to see new things in your scripture here tonight. So, Lord, be glorified. And Lord, may I honor you and your son, Jesus Christ. And I pray you bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Daniel had an incredible testimony. Now, Darius, setting up the new kingdom here, he wanted to make sure he would not suffer loss. Now, you ever heard of political corruption? Okay. In those days, it was happening, and today it's happening, political corruption. Now, Darius, he didn't want to suffer any loss. Now, when people get a lot of money in their hands, what do they like to do with that money? Spend it. They like to let some of it stick. You know what I'm saying? They want to keep it for themselves. A lot of money pouring through the kingdom there. And think about Daniel here. He was an honest man. Verse 3 gives us this little phrase, because an excellent spirit was in him. Now, God's spirit is a spirit of truth. And where the spirit of truth is, there's an honest man. And where there's an honest man, that man will live uprightly. And Daniel had that excellent spirit that was in him. He was an honest man. Now, if you were one that was given to bribery and cooking the books, so to speak, or manipulating the funds that come through the kingdom, and you were diverting it to yourself, and all of a sudden an honest man shows up and he's going to be put in charge of everything, how would you feel about that? Not too good, because all of a sudden, hey, my little money coming under the table here is going to be gone. And these guys here, they looked at this situation. They say, this guy, Daniel, he's got an excellent spirit, and he's an honest man. And he gets in charge. We're going to lose our income here. Well, Darius wanted to promote him because he was an honest man. Well, verse 4, these presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Again, he was an honest man, an upright man, sought to find occasion, fault. Daniel, concerning Daniel in the kingdom, but they could find none such occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. Is that a good testimony? That's a good testimony. And yeah, he had that testimony. They couldn't find a fault with him. Now, why does an honest man want to be honest? Because he knows one day, who is he going to give an account to? God. He's going to give an account to God. And Daniel knew that. And he did the right thing in the right way. What's the difference between character and reputation? Reputation is what you think I am. Character is who I am. And Daniel had character. And he wasn't going to sell himself short. He wasn't going to go along with the crowd. Now, is it easy to go along with the crowd? Everybody else is doing it. Hey, let's just get on the bandwagon here. And when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Daniel says, they knew Daniel wouldn't go along with this. And they knew he would not go along with the program. Because he was faithful. Faithful to God first and faithful to be an honest man. Well, they were much perplexed. They didn't know what to do here. And then verse 5, and these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we shall find it against concerning the law of his God. Somehow they want to take his loyalty to God and turn it against him. Now, look what their scheme is here. They got this plan, verse 6, the scheme, then the presidents and the princes assembled together to the king, and thus said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents, what's wrong with those first three words right there? What's wrong with verse 7? All. Who's missing there? Daniel. They used Daniel's name, but he wasn't there. All the presidents of the kingdom. This is from the very first thing they said, that was a lie. Now, dishonest people, will they lie? Will they lie? Yeah, they'll lie. They'll lie to get what they want. And guess what? They didn't care how much they hurt who? Daniel. They didn't care. They didn't care one little bit. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition, pray to any god or man for 30 days, except thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Now, think this through for a minute. Why did that appeal to Darius? Well, one reason is he just was a new commander here. He wanted to get everybody together. And everybody was praying to him for a month, and there was no other gods. Why did in Germany they had to do this to Hitler? Why did he want that? They would do like the high Hitler. Why do they do that?
Loyalty.
They wanted to make sure, Hitler wanted to make sure you're loyal to him. And Darius thought, yeah, I want to make sure they're loyal to me. Yeah. Plus two, anybody like to play God for 30 days? You want to play God for 30 days? That's what Daniel said. I'll play God. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. Well, verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now, one thing about this here is the emperor in Japan today, is he looked at as a god? He is. The emperor, he has to go through the ceremony, this elaborate thing they spend millions of dollars on. He goes through, and he's filled with the spirits of the gods when he goes in there. What is that? That's demonic filling. But they look to him, and today you can read about it in Japan. The emperor is looked as a god. Well, why couldn't the laws of the Medes and Persians? Let me ask you this. If you're a god, can you be wrong? So if you're a god, you can't be wrong, so whatever you say can't be changed. All right, then, okay. That's how they looked at this situation. Okay, verse 9, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. It's law now. Now look at verse 10. Now when Daniel, what's that next word? Knew. Now think about that for a minute. You ever been caught in a dilemma? If you do this, it's going to happen. If you do that, it's going to happen. And neither one looks good. What was the dilemma Daniel was in? Well, He could stop praying. That's an option on the table. He could do that. But if he did that, what would that say about him? Now, what kind of spirit was in him?
Excellent.
Now, how old was Daniel at this time? Yeah, in his 80s. He's been praying a long time. Now, think back through here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did God do for them?
Delivered them.
Did Daniel have an understanding of dreams and visions? God speaking to him? Okay, so he could not pray, but if he did that, how would Daniel feel about himself then, if he went that route? How would he feel about himself?
Unfaithful
to God. Yeah, God, if I do this, I'm going to be a man that denies you. How did Peter felt when he denied the Lord? He went out and what? Wept bitterly. That's not a good place. So he had that choice. But then what's the other choice? Well, he could pray. But if he did that, then what was the alternative to that? Lion's den. So either way he looked, whichever way he looked, it didn't look good, did it? Now, if you're Daniel, what would you do? Now, what's some other alternatives here? What if he prayed silently? Is that an option? Or what if he prayed behind the curtain? Or what if he just went on vacation for 30 days to the mountains? Is that an option? What's wrong with all those options? Okay, he wouldn't be loyal to God. There's a word called compromising. Because he's shading it in such a way that he's really denying what the reality is. And what's the reality?
Pray to God.
What's Luke 18:1 say? Men are what? Always to pray. And not to what? Faint. Men are always to pray. So as Daniel looked at all this, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, okay, he knew this. He went to his house and his window being closed. Is that what it says? Is that what it says? No, it says it was what? Open. In his chamber toward where? What's in Jerusalem that's not there, right? The temple. That's where his heart was. See, we in our Christian lives, are we going to deny the Lord? Or are we going to stand true to him no matter which way it goes? I've mentioned this before. How about you if you're Jack Phillips baking a cake? Just make a cake, give these people, go out the door. Would his life been a lot easier if he just did that? Would it have been easier? Sure it would have. But was that an option? Because if he did that, what would he be doing? Compromising. And sinning against his heart. Because when we have an excellent spirit within us, we don't deny God. We stand strong for him. Daniel knew the writing was signed. He went into his house, his windows being open, in his chamber toward Jerusalem, and kneeled upon his knees. Now, what does it symbolize when you kneel upon your knees like this? What does that symbolize before God?
Reverence
and humility, acknowledging him as the great God. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day. What's Psalm 55:17 say? Evening, morning, and noon. All right. Well, I pray and cry aloud. Why is it evening first? The evening and morning were what? The first day. 3 times a day. Daniel, he prayed, kneeled, and gave what? Thanks. Think about that for a minute. What would you be thankful for if you're Daniel right there? Tell me, what could you be thankful for? You're Daniel, and you just know that writing's been signed, and you're not supposed to pray to God. And he thanked him. Tell me, what would you be thankful for?
Sovereignty.
Okay, sovereignty of God? I know the true God. Okay? God, you're sovereign. Lord, you're the true God. What else could he be thankful for?
For taking care of him ahead of time.
Okay, sure. He could say, Lord, I don't know how this was going to work out, but I know you're God, and I'm going to trust you through it. See, when we have faith in God and trust in God, we do what is right and leave the consequences up to him. That's when you're a man of faith and you have an excellent spirit. When you trust him and you leave the consequences up to God. Did Daniel leave the consequences up to God? He did. He gave him thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Should Christians take a stand for righteousness even when the culture says it's wrong? When the culture affirms sin, should we call it sin as believers? We should. Even if it's popular within the culture, should Christians not participate in it? I'll give you an example. Okay. Disney World. Do they promote the homosexual agenda there? They do. I knew a Christian pastor, I don't know his name. Somehow somebody gave him some tickets to Disney World. And he was going to take his family. And we were talking about this with him. And as this conversation went around, he goes, what am I supposed to do? Throw away the tickets? And I thought to myself, absolutely. That's what I thought, just throw away the tickets. Because why do you want to take your family to a place that affirms such sin? And to me, it's like, in my opinion, just throw away the tickets. Don't go there. If they're going to make something that's evil and wicked, why do you want to take your children there and affirm that to them? Well, he prayed as he did aforetime. This is my pattern. This is my life. This is my God, and I'm not going to deny him. Well, the plot is unfolding here. These men assembled and found Daniel what? Praying. And make supplications before his God. What stops you from praying? What stops you? Busyness? Laziness? A lack of priority? Compromising? When you go to a restaurant, do you bow your head and pray and thank God for the food with everybody around you? You ought to. Because who gave you that food? God did. Jesus says, if you love me, you're not ashamed of me. And Christians should bow their heads in a public restaurant and give thanks to God for the food he provides for them. You don't make a scene, but you can bow and thank God for your food. Well, Daniel prayed. They saw him. They trapped him. Now, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that asks a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except thee, O king, shall be cast in a den of lions? Question. King answered, said, this thing is true, according to the laws of Medes and Persian, which alters not. Then answered they before the king, That Daniel, that's an honest man and won't go along with our plans. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captives of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decrees thou hast signed, but maketh petition three times a day. And they probably thought, we got him. We got Daniel. We got him. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel. The king didn't want to do this. All of a sudden, he realized he'd been set up. And he went from being a god to being a foolish man. Because the best man in his kingdom, he was going to have to put to death. He set his heart to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. These men assembled and said unto him, and said, Know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is, thou no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. He was trapped, had no other choice. And then the king commanded it, and they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Stop right there. Now, could God have stopped that from happening? He could have. But he allowed Daniel to go into the den of lions. Now, tell me why. He could have stopped it. Did he deliver Peter out of jail? He did. Did he deliver James from the sword? No, he didn't. So within this, whether you get the sword or you get delivered like Peter, for Daniel, God had a purpose in this. Now, how did this work out?
Good for Daniel.
It worked out good for Daniel. But underneath the good for Daniel, what else happened? There's something that was overarching.
Well, the king recognized his God.
Okay, that is true too. That is a huge point. But there's something even larger than that happened. At the end of this chapter, who makes a decree in verse 26? And what was that decree in verse 26? That in every domain of my kingdom, men should what? Tremble and fear before the God of who? Daniel. That would not have happened if he hadn't gone where? Into the lion's den. So that decree gave God the glory. And so whenever God leads us in a pathway, whichever pathway leads us, whether it's a sword for James or the angel for Peter or the den of lions for Daniel, it's all for God's what? Glory. That's who we are. We're for God's glory. And as God looked at this situation, he got more glory by allowing Daniel to go into the den of lions. Then the king commanded, verse 16, brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Now, how did that king know that? How did he know that? Who told him? Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego probably heard those stories. Maybe Daniel told him. Maybe Daniel had been talking to the king because they knew each other well. He was a favorite. He wanted to make him the leader of everybody. He gave testimony. And the king appealed to Daniel's faith and encouraged him at that moment. Now a stone was brought and he laid it upon the mouth of the den. King sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, if you were these corrupt officials, if somebody is thrown into the den of lions, what is the outcome? You're done. As soon as that happened, that stone, they probably went home that night and said, "Whoo! Give me a high five. We're done with that man. He's gone out of here. Our plan worked, and we'll get back in this corrupt system, and we won't have an honest man watching over us." They were celebrating. And they didn't care one lick about Daniel, an innocent man. Well, the king went to his palace that night and passed the night with fastings and no music was brought before him. Stayed up all the night just thinking about Daniel, how he was manipulated into condemning an innocent man. King rose very early, verse 19, went in haste to the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And king spake and said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And there was that silence. And all of a sudden, king heard, and Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much before him, innocency was found in me and also before thee. O king, I have done thee no hurt. What is in verse 22? A good conscience toward God and a good conscience toward man. That is a spirit-filled man. He is right before God and right before others. Now, before God was in it. Now, that law was the law of the Medes and Persians, but that was not the law of God, was it? That they couldn't pray to any god. What is the first commandment, the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other what? Gods before me. Did Daniel keep that verse? He did. He didn't have any other gods. You know, Darius wasn't a god. He wasn't going to pray to him. I've done thee no hurt. You know, at the end of the day, you want to make sure you have a good conscience toward God and toward your fellow man in all you do. A good conscience. That's what Daniel had. He had nothing to be ashamed of. And God honored his faith and his trust. Now, the king was exceedingly glad for him. I can just imagine him like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. He was in there all night long and he's no harm came to him. The king was so happy because he was alive. They commanded to take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Now, I don't want you to miss in verse 22, God sent what? An angel. Who kept Daniel company all night long? Who kept him company? That angel kept him company all night long. And then lions just walking around, looking at them. And they're just sitting there having fellowship. You know, angels are God's ministering spirits given to us as the saints of God. And that was a blessing for Daniel. A vindication of him. He was condemned to death by the evil men, but he was vindicated by his God. Do men say evil things against innocent people? They do. Will they say things against you that aren't true? They will. But can God vindicate you? If not now, in eternity, he'll vindicate you. And he'll declare you innocent and righteous. Even though the world may condemn you, God will vindicate you. Daniel was vindicated because he did what was right. The king was glad for him, command they take up Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of them. No matter hurt was found upon him. And what was it? Because he what? Believed in his who? His God. He believed. Do you believe? Can you trust God in the tough times? Daniel believed in his God because he knew all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And he wasn't going to compromise. He wasn't going to backpedal. He wasn't going to do anything to dishonor God or make him a coward. Now, verse 24, all these men that rejoiced the night before, the king commanded, and they brought those men which accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Can you imagine the surprise when they heard, you won't believe this? They just pulled Daniel out of the lion's den. He was there all night and he didn't die. And all of a sudden the king's command comes. You. You're going to the lion's den. What did God do to those evil men? Did he judge them for their sin? Were they guilty of murder, attempted murder? They were. They set an innocent man up. Do you reap what you sow? And these men condemned an innocent man to death. And God says, I will have the last say here. Down at the end of verse 24, the lions had mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces even before they came to the bottom of the den. Now, Darius sees all this. Verse 25, he wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiply you. I make a decree. Now, the first decree he made, that was a pretty poor decree. But did he get his act together? Listen to what he said this time. That in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is what God? The living God. And steadfast forever. Is that good theology? And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end of the world. That sounds good theology there. I think he got it. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered. But why did he prosper? What did he do before he prospered? He prayed. And what did it say in verse 23? Because he what? Believed in his God. He prospered because he believed in his God. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here's a great chapter here. But in the world we live in, don't compromise your Christianity. No matter how hard the world pushes at you, be a man and woman of God that has an excellent spirit, because God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we as God's people will be in that kingdom forever. But until we get there, what kind of spirit was in Daniel? What kind of spirit? Excellent spirit. And may we have an excellent spirit within us that honors our God. Well, let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here in Daniel chapter 6. Thank you that the kingdom of God endures forever. And Father, thank you for Daniel, that his eyes were not on this earthly kingdom, but on this heavenly kingdom and on the God that rules and reigns in this universe. And Father, I pray that as believers, we never compromise, that we would never sell short our convictions of the truth of the Word of God. And may we stand firm and strong in these dark days that we live in, this crooked and perverse generation around us that knows not God. And Father, help us in love and truth and righteousness live before Thee, God, to have a good conscience before men and before our God always. So, Lord, give us a faithful spirit. Help us to persevere in prayer even when it's not convenient. And Lord, I pray that we'd honor you in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.